Welcome to Going Mental. I'm your host, Aaron Smith.
And I'm Nick Moyle.
You're my co-host.
Your co-host.
Aaron's co-host. This is going great.
That's how it usually goes. We have Aaron's sister, Michaela, with us today.
Yes. We recorded an episode at the beginning of all of this. It was the very first episode we ever recorded. And it was about coping skills. But it just wasn't really... Anyway, it was weird without Nick. And
thank you, I appreciate that.
But it was also just not flowing very well. So I invited Michaela back, and we're going to redo it. So,
yes, it's going to be great.
So, Michaela, tell us about yourself.
My name is Michaela Smith, and I'm a freshman here at Utah State.
Woohoo! Fresh meat.
Which is so great.
She's pretty cool. For all you freshman dudes out there, she's pretty cool.
Hit Michaela up. Take her on a date. What? This is going to turn into a really weird podcast. Okay, let's go. Just say your major, what you're interested in.
Okay. My major is health education and promotion with an emphasis in health science, which is really long, but it's just basically I'm going pre-med.
Which She's is a really health cool. nerd.
Yeah.
And she I wants really, to be a doctor.
And I really love it. So cool. It's great. Yeah. I also like skiing and hiking and
being a healthy person.
Yeah.
Nutrition.
Yep, it's great.
I'm going to have her write me some recipes later.
Next Betty Crocker right here.
You laugh, but I'm serious.
All right, so today we wanted to talk about coping skills because we needed to redo that episode. Anyway, but really what we wanted to talk about was kind of like how other people on campus cope, how we cope, and how we should probably improve that. So we're going to insert some clips of some people on campus who shared their coping skills, serious and kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, some of them are good. Some of them are ridiculous.
So Nathan, how do you cope with stress?
Well, I have a few different ways to do it. I think honestly, the biggest one for me is just anything physical, whether it's taking a walk or exercising or just, I don't know, busting out a few push-ups in my room or something.
So you just drop and give someone 10 if you're, like, stressed out?
Yeah, but, I mean, I'll be by myself. I won't do it in public. That'd be pretty weird. I know another thing that I do, I like to go for a drive.
Like up the canyon?
Yeah, I've done that before, and it's really nice. Just get my mind off something, and I don't know, putting the pedal to the metal is just a ton of fun, and you just picture that you're not at school, and things just work out.
Perfect. Thank you.
Morby?
So, hot tubbing in the rain is amazing. Like, you'll forget everything, it feels super good, and the only thing you're thinking about is, I hope a lightning strike doesn't kill me right now.
So, how do you cope with stress, Weston?
Well, I like to meditate and just lay down on my bed. Just, like, forget about everything for 10 minutes. After that, I feel super refreshed. I also like to just blast some music. And driving up the canyon's pretty nice. Also... No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it. Do it. Do it for the podcast.
Even pigeons. I would recommend pigeons. That. I haven't done that either. I've tried, but I haven't.
So, Caitlin, how do you cope with life?
I eat 4 gallons of ice cream, or I go to the gym and work out and focus on the pain my body's going through instead of my problems.
Perfect. Just say what you need to say, Mark.
So usually when I try to cope with a down part of my day, I just stop thinking about myself and stop worrying about what I can and can't do, and I just start thinking about other people. I've always noticed that as I kind of put others' needs before myself, I become a happier person.
Perfect. Awesome! Okay, so... honestly.
Cool. Thanks, Mark and Nathan and everybody else.
Caitlin, my roommate, who's super funny. We like her. We'll have her on later. Anyway, so Nick, how do you cope with life? So how do you ideally cope, and how do you actually cope?
Ideally cope? I actually cope that way, because ideally is, for me, like, I can't have ideals. If I have ideals, I try, it basically is like a perfectionistic term, or like a perfectionistic tendency for me. So I kind of just cope with it in the moment how I feel. Sometimes I play the piano. I actually did that for an hour before coming here, and it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I'm very much an extrovert, so I get out and I talk to people and I meet people and I just listen to them and I just get to know them and try and figure out more who they are, and I cope by talking to people. If I ever actually need something, I'll talk to people about it, but I mostly just go out and meet people and serve them in any way I can. So
awesome.
What about you, Erin? How do you cope?
How do I cope? Well, when I was younger, I used to eat a lot.
That is numbing. There's a difference between numbing and coping.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily saying it was a good coping skill. Yeah, emotional eating. I would cry, listen to music. I would avoid things. Anyway, now I kind of am better about it. I mean, I still avoid things. I think we all do, but try to eat healthier and like get up and do something, because when I'm stressed out or when I'm going through an OCD loop, like, I feel really out of control and stuff like that, and so I'll do exposure therapies and stuff like that. That helps me like do things, but like in terms of like coping with just like sadness and depression, I think painting is one of my big releases. When I got home, or I came home early for my mission, and that's one of the things I would do, is I would just sit and paint, and I would just like listen to like audiobooks, but I would just paint, and it would just, I don't know, there was just something about being creative and just kind of letting go in a way that was so therapeutic to me. So that's kind of how I cope.
That's how music is for me.
Yeah.
So
Nikhila, how do you cope?
Depends on the day, depends on my mood, but usually
true
that.
Kind of like what Nick said, is I'm an extrovert too, and I really like getting out there and being social with other people, and just finding, like, I have a really good friend up here, and whenever I'm having like a tough day, I'll go over, usually make her cookies and go over there and just like talk to her. Sometimes, like, I don't know, like, usually if I have to, like, one of the ways that I release stress is I work out.
Oh my gosh, she works out like so much. She's a gym rat.
Not even, but you know. But like just doing like different things just to take my mind off of like either studying if I'm stressed out with school, or you know, with people. Just taking a break from that, like mentally, and like putting it towards something productive, such as like exercise, really helps me. And so that's how I get through my day.
Yeah, you also play piano though too, don't you?
Yeah, I usually go over to the church and I'll just like sing and play the piano and release my stress. So that was
true though. So I kind of wanted to go over a little bit about some negative coping skills and like what you shouldn't do and what you should do. So I kind of wanted to leave on a positive note, I guess. Just kind of like give some like ideas, brainstorm what you can do to like kind of, because you can't just like stop doing negative coping skills. Like, you need to replace them, otherwise you're just gonna not cope at all and just be sad.
True. I actually was gonna bring a book, and I should have brought it to campus today. I'd forgotten we were doing coping skills today, but it's Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and she talks a lot about vulnerability and bad coping skills being shame. We shame ourselves, we attach our self-worth to our problems, and that's a bad way to cope, because then we numb by either being perfectionistic, doing drugs, drinking. She says we're the most obese. How did she say it? We're the most overweight, over-medicated, and something else people in America. She's actually got a really good TED Talk on vulnerability. Brené Brown, vulnerability. Go look it up.
We can link it.
Obviously, we'll put a link.
Yeah, our podcast. That'd be a good idea.
So, it's a good one.
Because you mentioned her in the last podcast, too.
I love her. She's awesome.
No. That sounds awesome. Yeah. I kind of wanted to touch a little bit on what you said about, like, drinking, excessive, like, eating, things that are really, like, addicting in nature to, like, as coping skills. And we did talk about this in the last episode, but I cut it out.
Pornography is another one.
Yeah, pornography is another one. But a lot of people think, especially in this recent climate, that marijuana is a useful way to get rid of stress. I can say from my psychiatrist's point of view, which is a lot more trustworthy than someone who just loves to smoke weed, that is not at all a good coping skill. It is distancing yourself from the problem. Like, there's a difference between distancing yourself from a problem and trying to forget about it and, like, acknowledging it and doing something positive to make yourself feel okay.
So there's a difference, like she said, in avoiding and addressing the problem. Sometimes, though, it's just, I think one of the clips that we inserted earlier talked about it, is that not worrying about what you can't control and worrying about what you can control instead of just trying to not feel anything, because you can't control other people's agency. That's what a lot of the time relationships cause stress. They're my number one source of stress, that in school. In that regard, you can't control anybody's agency, you can't control the weather, just things you can't control, don't try to control, and just say, you know what, maybe, maybe not. Maybe this person hates me, maybe they don't. If it's your roommate, talk to them about it. Unless you're an avoider, then you don't have to, but I would really recommend talking and trying to work things out and try to understand them and just spit stuff out.
And see their point of view instead of just thinking about your point of view.
Those things can be, like, it's just things that become addictive. Like, you can try, like, from personal experience with OCD, you can over-control things that you can control to feel like you have control in other aspects of your life. So that's not necessarily good. But, like, having a balance with that, like, you know, kind of addressing and kind of, like, leaving up to fate, like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can just do the best I can. There's a difference between that and being, like, I've got to have, like, I'm going to control every single portion of food that I eat or thing that I do so that I can feel like I have control in my life, because I don't have control in other parts of my life. So it's just kind of having a moderate, like.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be in control, like, to feel like you're not in control. Like, at least for me, like, with some things, it's really hard.
That's true. So acknowledge that. Know that it is hard, but know that you can do it, even if you don't think you can. Just believe you can. So there's a difference, like she said, in avoiding and addressing the problem. Sometimes, though, it's just, I think one of the clips that we inserted earlier talked about it, is that not worrying about what you can't control and worrying about what you can control instead of just trying to not feel anything, because you can't control other people's agency. That's what a lot of the time relationships cause stress. They're my number one source of stress, that in school. In that regard, you can't control anybody's agency, you can't control the weather, just things you can't control, don't try to control, and just say, you know what, maybe, maybe not. Maybe this person hates me, maybe they don't. If it's your roommate, talk to them about it. Unless you're an avoider, then you don't have to, but I would really recommend talking and trying to work things out and try to understand them and just spit stuff out.
And see their point of view instead of just thinking about your point of view.
You could definitely do one on, like, conflict resolution.
That's what I study.
Yeah, exactly. You would just have a heyday with that.
I love it.
You'd be like, let's talk about conflict resolution.
Yay!
Those things can be, like, it's just things that become addictive. Like, you can try, like, from personal experience with OCD, you can over-control things that you can control to feel like you have control in other aspects of your life. So that's not necessarily good. But, like, having a balance with that, like, you know, kind of addressing and kind of, like, leaving up to fate, like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can just do the best I can. There's a difference between that and being, like, I've got to have, like, I'm going to control every single portion of food that I eat or thing that I do so that I can feel like I have control in my life, because I don't have control in other parts of my life. So it's just kind of having a moderate, like.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be in control, like, to feel like you're not in control, like, at least for me, like with some things, it's really hard.
That's true. So acknowledge that. Know that it is hard, but know that you can do it, even if you don't think you can. Just believe you can. And the little voices in your head that tell you you can't, just ignore them, as hard as it is.
And remember that you're the best around, and that nothing's gonna ever get you down.
Is that from a song?
It's from the song from our intro.
Oh.
Oh.
You're the best around, around. Nothing's ever gonna get you down.
That's the intro.
Anyways, pay attention to that.
That's why we chose it.
That makes sense. She actually picked it. I couldn't understand what the words were saying, to be honest.
But I didn't even know that was your intro. I didn't even know there were words in your intro song.
Ah. Yeah. What? Why does someone pick up on my cute little thing?
It was cute.
So, honestly, like, excessive drinking, really excessive anything.
Can be bad. Like anything can become addictive.
Even going to the gym.
Even going to the gym.
Like, you could become orthorexia. That's the thing.
Orthorexia. There we go. I didn't know that was a word.
Well, it's like, you're obsessively, like, healthy eating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you're cutting out, like, everything except for everything that comes from organic,
mm-hmm,
plant-based
things.
Uh-oh.
Vegan.
That ain't good. Like, honestly, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of my quip about, like, anything that you do in excess. Yeah, like, I'm going to point in the last episode that I cut out, but I really liked it. It was like, yeah, 5 pounds of cake might make me feel real good in the moment. Doesn't mean it's good for me.
True.
And, like, there's, honestly, those are kind of your body's cues of being like, dude, I need help. Because in those situations, like eating, weed, I'm sure alcohol just kind of numbs the problem. But anything like that, it's just kind of like, it raises the serotonin and dopamine in your brain for a second. Like a few seconds, maybe, mm-hmm, like, I think it's like 3 minutes or something like that. And then it drops back down. So it's like your brain saying, dude, I need more serotonin. I need more dopamine. I need help. So it's a good indicator to be like, okay, honestly, I'm feeling a lot right now. I'm feeling this, like, urge to, like, binge eat because that's what's worked in the past, but I'm going to replace it with something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I stress eat, too. It's normal.
I think everyone does, at least
to a point.
Once in their life.
It's true. That's,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Seriously. I found out one of, like, my friends was mad at me, and I just, like, had a bunch of donuts. And then I was just like, because, like, I had already, like, I had brought one for this person,
mm-hmm,
and she wasn't home, and I was just like, Michaela was there.
When was this?
Remember when you told, like, Bailey said, you said that Bailey was mad at me, and I was like, yeah, crap, and so I just ate the other donut. I was like, I can't deal with this.
I don't know, just people, I don't know, why you guys, like, I don't know.
No, seriously, and then, like, people who have, medication, like, as needed medication, they can abuse that too. Like, I have as needed medication for anxiety. I try not to use it unless I really need to just kind of, like, calm down. And it's, mine is non-addictive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a antihistamine. It's called hydroxyzine. But there's things like benzos, like lorazepam, which, dude, if that stuff works, like, it really, really calms you down. But honestly, it can also stop your heart. So
Xanax, one of them too.
Oh yeah, Xanax is super
people
powerful.
People love Xanax. So yeah, I mean, those just anxiety medication, you can get addicted to that too. You can use that as a way to cope, which isn't good. Like, I mean, medication's there for a reason, but
it's meant to get you to a place where you can deal with things rather than, like, numbing yourself,
exactly,
to the world.
Exactly.
Like opioids or other drugs, like, that's what it does. Like,
mm-hmm,
it just, yeah.
Well,
it's a sad thing, and it's, like, not, like, something that we could really judge, but it's kind of, like, you have to accept that, like, this isn't good for me, and it's not going to be good for my mental health in the long term. It's,
mm-hmm,
just covering up a problem that's there, and that there's things I can do that are positive and replace it. That, like, anyway.
For reals. Another thing too is, I think that helps with these things is just believing in yourself and believing that you can do it. And if you rely on a higher power, do it. If you don't, I would invite you to. But
remind yourself that you have control of your situations.
Thank you. I couldn't think of how to word it differently. Yeah. Just you have more power over the situation than you think you do.
Mm-hmm. There's Oh, sorry.
No, I was saying, even if that's going to bed earlier than you want to, because it's going to help you feel better in the long run. No. That was a thought that I had earlier, is do what makes you happy in the long run. Not necessarily in the moment, because numbing feels good in the moment, but then sucks later on.
Yeah.
If you can just address the problem and deal with it as is, then it's much easier. It's much, much better.
And honestly, the long run happiness, it's longer lasting.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It's
called joy.
It's self-discipline. It's, yeah. No, we were talking about this in my econ class because my Aaron's econ nerd moment for the day. But economics professor, he actually studies like impulse control and social security and like saving for retirement and stuff like that. And we were talking about it today, and most people will spend like a ridiculous amount like in their mid-20s, and then right before retirement it drops off a little bit, and then when they retire it drops super low, and so they can only spend like a certain amount because they didn't save for retirement.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of like the same thing. Like, you're going to have to deal with it eventually, even if you're just prolonging it. Like, it's better to, like, develop these skills now and just kind of, like, gradually than to deal with it later when you have serious health problems, like, other things, serious emotional problems that have just been delayed and, like, explode in your face, because that's what's going to happen.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of my little soapbox about avoiding the problem, because like honestly I've done that so many times. I think we've all done that, like
everybody has.
And then I wanted to talk about a little bit about what are positive coping skills, what kind of gives us hope, and what kind of brainstorm some things that can help with everyday stresses of school, relationships, just kind of different aspects of your life.
So with like exercising and healthy eating, I've always played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Like my entire life, and
I
love soccer, and it's so great. And when I, you know, quit soccer to like focus on academics, like in high school, I didn't have that release that I used to with playing soccer and just like exercising in general to get rid of that stress that was building up in my life. And so when I started like finding exercise again, it really helped me with that aspect of my life, and just with, yeah, just in general.
Yeah.
Made me like a more happier person.
Yeah.
And a more healthier person.
Michaela has been a really great inspiration to me about like healthy eating and like self-discipline. She goes to bed usually on time nearly every night. Like,
mm-hmm.
She's just kind of like really been an inspiration to me. And when I was still in the OCD clinic, I actually decided to hire a nutritionist. It was actually really affordable. I love her. It was like $50 a month, and she would she would just check up on me and like make sure I was good. And I was doing like this kind of homework stuff every day. It was like called PN Nutrition. And honestly, it helped me develop a lot of healthier habits, and I eat a lot healthier now. And over like, I developed those habits over time. Like, you don't have to hire a nutritionist to do that.
No.
I just did it because I have such bad like accountability to myself. Like, I'll just go like eat a tub of like ice cream and be sad, which I don't actually do that because I'm lactose intolerant. But
hashtag sad day.
I feel like everyone has those bad days. Like, my kryptonite is like cookie dough or like dark chocolate.
That's good for your brain, so you can justify it.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's true, but, like, eating too much.
Eating too much of anything, like I said.
I had a friend in high school. His name's Spencer Francis. Shout out to him. He's a graduate from here.
Yo, Spencer, you're cool.
He told me once, all things in moderation except moderation. So there you go.
Yes.
I thought it was brilliant.
I like
that.
That's
a really good quote.
All moderation. All things in moderation except moderation.
Well, that's, like, with, like, healthy eating and, like, exercise as well. Like, you can't exercise every minute of every day. Like, you need, your body needs time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And same with eating. Like, you're not going to eat perfectly all the time, and that's okay, because that's not what nutrition is.
It's overall, like, good eating. Michaela told me some really great advice. Was like, overall, like, you should just, it doesn't matter if you ate, like, a donut yesterday or whatever. If you're overall eating, like, a good diet, like, it's good.
It's,
and same with, like even with weight loss and stuff like that, like,
it's,
you can't outrun a bad diet. You have to have a good diet.
That's true.
You're taking these things into your body. Like,
but it doesn't matter, like, if you ate like healthy like one day and then you don't eat healthy 6 days out of, like, if you don't eat healthy, like, 6 days out of the week, compared to that one day that you're eating healthy, it matters with consistency.
Yeah, being consistent on what you do and stuff like that.
And that's how you create habits.
Yeah. And, so. Like, you shouldn't be, like, super, like, controlling of your eating either, because that's just unhealthy.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Like, make sure you're getting good, nutritious food and in moderation, and you're basically good. That's the habit
I know developed. That there's a dietitian at the Student Health and Wellness Center.
Yo,
and so, like,
she'd be, like, down to, like,
yeah, talk so to you. Yeah, so if you, like, have, like, if you need help with, like, nutrition or, like, with, you know, like, just anything.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, she's there to help you.
That's super cool. Yeah.
That being said, too, that whole student wellness center, it's free treatment. I think there's only a couple things. Like, if you have to get some sort of test done, I think there's a fee for that. But,
Yeah, it's just available to all students.
But it's available to all students. Just basic healthcare checkups, they're free. You just go in and do them.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a great resource to use.
It's down on the other side of the football stadium.
Yeah,
on
the north side.
Of the football stadium.
It's kind of like...
It's a great place.
It's unassuming, like, but, like, once you get there, you're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, a health and wellness center. Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. another thing I wanted to talk about is music and art and, like, how it's helped you, Nick. So
I actually used to graffiti, not illegally, but but I still have my painting mask. I love doing it. It was a lot of fun. But I didn't find the same sense of relief from it as I have, like, release of negative energy as I have from playing music, from either the ukulele or from the piano. I actually pulled up a bunch of hobbies, because different people do different, like, they cope in different ways, like, different things fulfill them and give them a sense of fulfillment and
upliftment. It's cool to try things new, like, it's just...
So
it's good for you.
You can Google. I just Googled it
list
on Wikipedia.
Hobbies.
Let's
list some really great ones. Taxidermy.
Honestly, that's pretty cool.
Whittling.
Foreign language learning. That's actually really fun to me. I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Cross-stitching.
Cross-stitching is actually really cool.
I do embroidery. Like, that's one of my coping ways of coping. I, like, will sit down and do
embroidery. Couponing.
Probably not obsessively, but yes. Oh, beatboxing.
True. I do that.
Baton twirling.
Poetry.
Amateur radio, guys, that's us.
Cool. Also, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ryan. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
With that, too, though, find things that you can do with people. Like, a lot of people like to rock climb together, go hiking together.
Oh, yeah.
But then find things you can do on your own. Like, I can do music on my own. But I like hiking, and I can take friends to go do that. I like hunting. I take friends to go do that. Me and my roommate are going this Saturday. I'm super excited.
That's so fun.
So there's indoor hobbies. There's outdoor hobbies. I really recommend getting outdoors. It's different for me. Hey, look, graffiti is even an outdoor hobby. Look at that.
Yeah.
But I used to play lacrosse. I think I mentioned that. I loved it. It was fun. And then
gardening is so fun.
Carving is really fun.
Yeah. Gardening is like...
Oh, gardening. Yeah. Carving's fun, too.
Gardening. Ghost hunting's fun. I feel like that's going to just make me stressed out. Like, I like watching ghost hunting shows, but I cannot ghost hunt in person.
Wait, shopping? That's probably...
Like, any of these things you can do obsessively, but, like...
Dancing, darts, color guard, debate, curling, bowling, boxing.
I do curling. I love it.
That's why I said... That's why I mentioned that one. Ice skating... Bungee jumping.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anywhere to go around here, though. Eating is a competitive
speed
hobby,
clubbing?
It says.
Don't eat it. What?
Speed cubing.
Cubing. What is speed
cubing?
Like Rubik's cubing.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Anyways, here's the thing, too, is I know that when you're depressed and you're down, it's a lot harder to want to do something.
That's why it's, like, okay to do things, like, alone. Like, maybe watch a show that you really like. Like, I used to watch Psych all the time.
Watching a show, as long as it's not to avoid pain, if it's to say, okay, I'm going to take time to watch a movie. That's what I did with piano for an hour today, and it was great. And I'm like, yeah, I have a paper due tomorrow afternoon, but I can get it done. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Avoiding would be, like, doing it, like, a ridiculous amount. Like watching Netflix. Like, binge watching Netflix for, like, all day. That's avoiding the problem. If you're watching a show to take some time to kind of relax, that's different.
That's self-care. That's
coping. Yes. And just being like, I'm gonna just take some time to kind of focus on this, focus on something else.
And it's okay to have, like, breaks.
Oh yeah, don't try and study your whole...
No. It
don't try and study
out.
Everything all together. And also, I've learned that breaking assignments up and doing chunks of them throughout the week instead of trying to do
it all at once.
Like, yeah, so, like, instead, it's like I have three assignments I gotta get done. I could do all of one on Monday, all of one on Wednesday, and all of one on Friday. Mm-hmm. And all of them are due on Friday, let's say. But if I break them down and I do part of one, part of each on Monday, part of each on Wednesday, part of each on Friday, it actually works better because I've had time afterwards even to think of thoughts I can put into it. I write a lot of papers for my major, so it's just what I do.
Yeah.
But, so not writing it all on the same day is actually very helpful.
That's true.
Because that's just, like, your brain just gets so tired after writing that much. You're just like, I have nothing else to give. This is crap, but I have to turn it in kind of thing.
Yep.
That's true.
Something I did want to talk about was mindfulness meditation. Mm. I love... anything can be mindful. I think mindfulness is kind of, like, associated a lot with meditation. But, yeah, that is being mindful, definitely. But mindfulness is, like, doing things, like, and thinking about it. Like, we do so many things and not think about it. Like, we breathe and not think about it. Like, it's just something we don't think about. Or, you know, like, we write and we don't think about, like, moving our hand with a pen or anything like that. We're not in, like, we don't, like, ground ourselves in our bodies and being like, I feel the table under my hand. It is smooth. It is kind of cool. Like, just things like that. It's a great way to reduce anxiety. As well as kind of just ground yourself and kind of,
yeah,
just being there in the moment is so important because
That's true. We
honestly distract ourselves so much and we're so instantaneous. It's good for, if you've ever used like the app Headspace, oh, great. That British man's
really
amazing.
Good. Yeah, it's actually really good.
Yeah. And then I also have an app called Calm and I'll do that for like sleeping and stuff. They have like nature sounds and I'll just meditate and just like focus on my breath. And just kind of, like, bring myself back. I think we even have a podcast that they just started about mindfulness for USU. So,
okay, cool.
Shout out to new podcast that I saw on the website. You guys are cool. Mindfulness. and, like, you can mindfully paint, just, like, feeling the brush in your hand, kind of like that. Like, it's just, like, sensory kind of things. Like, you're just focusing on something. You're focusing on just one particular thing,
mm-hmm.
and you just bring your attention back to it. That's kind of the same thing with meditation, except meditation is usually about breathing, or like focusing on a mantra or a thought. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I love it. Honestly, 10 out of 10 would recommend.
10 errands out of 10. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, thanks.
It's okay. Remember, I'm the guy version of Aaron, so it's okay. I'm kidding.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say was with studying, we were going to do a whole episode on just, like, studying skills and, like, stress reduction, test reduction, but, like,
mm-hmm.
we can throw a little bit of that in here. There have been a lot of studies done where, like, you'll do, like, an hour of studying and then, like, have a break and how much you retain. You retain the beginning and the end. That's the things you remember the most about studying is the beginning and the end. And then another one is, like, being social. We talked about in the last episode about not isolating yourself.
Yeah.
When you're feeling suicidal or depressed or anything like that.
I have a great quote on this.
Go.
So, in my health and wellness class, we watched a TED Talk. We always watch TED Talks in that class. But
shout out to TED Talks.
Yeah! I don't remember what it's called, but anyways, the guy was basically talking about, like, people that become addicted to things, become addicted to them because they're lacking connection.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's, like, human interaction with, like, people.
So. Yeah. We're inherently social people.
Yeah,
and
social.
Even if you're introverted.
Yeah. Like, don't kill yourself, like, if it drains you, like, to go talk to people and stuff like that. But go out there, meet new people, kind of. It's just better not to be alone in those situations.
I see a lot of my friends, they're walking around campus. I alluded to this last time, put your phones down.
No, it's literally in
it's
there.
True.
I put that in there, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I said that last time. But for me, that's what I like to do that because I'm social anyways, but when I put my phone down and I'm not texting and driving, as in walking around texting, I tell my friends whenever I see them, hey, don't text and drive when they're on their phones. But so I don't know if they always get it, and sometimes it might be offensive, but that's just what I like to say. Because for me, being able to just see people and make eye contact and even just smile and say, hey, like,
yeah.
that brings connection in a day. And
yeah.
That's honestly done a lot more for my mental health and well-being, because it keeps my eyes off the ground. Like, be off your phones and don't be looking at the ground. Like, look around, make eye contact with people, smile. I know that honestly is really hard for some people. It's not as hard for me. I've practiced for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly never really has been hard for me, but I know people that it's really hard for. But as they've done it, it's changed who they are. So.
And it gets you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which is a good
thing. No
which
growth,
helps you grow. Yeah.
There's no growth in the comfort zone, and there's no comfort in the growth zone.
Ha!
So.
I love that quote.
True. Which is why studying sometimes is stressful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's not the comfort zone spot. So thank you so much for tuning in to Going Mental. This is Aaron Smith.
Nick Moyle.
And Michaela Smith.
Yours mentally. Insane. Bye!
Thank you for checking out today's podcast. If you have any questions about what we talked about in the episode, please feel free to shoot us an email. Our email address is goingmentalusu@gmail.com. We also have additional resources linked to our page at usu.edu/radio. Thanks for listening.